Good morning. I apologize in advance for the little cough that I have. It's been hanging on for a little while. So maybe I don't have a button like they do in radio, the cough button, you know, the mute. So you just have to forgive me. Maybe they'll edit it out later. If you will, take your Bibles. We're going to begin. We're not going to stay here, but we're going to begin in Romans chapter 10 and beginning in verse 13. Actually, I want to skip all the way down to Romans 10 and verse 17. It's a scripture that we often use when we're talking about God's plan for salvation. And we read in Romans in chapter 10, if I can get to the right verse here, in verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God." That's a great passage. I think we use it aptly when we talk about things that we must do in receiving God's Word and obeying it. But I want to go back and read just a little further. I want to go all the way back to 13 to introduce this lesson. And in beginning in verse 13, we read, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now we're going to come back to that verse later, because there's only one other place in God's Word that we find wording like that. And we're going to look at where that is. But let's go on. "Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone who preaches? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they that have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And then so faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God." Now, brethren, I'm sure that it is not a surprise to you. There are a lot of misunderstandings around about God's Word. All you have to do is turn on the TV on Sunday morning and watch some preacher from such and such church down the road speak a few words, and you'll find out that everybody that believes in the Bible doesn't believe the same thing. Now, if you believe like I do that the Word of God is truth, and you believe that God is not the author of confusion, that means that it's not the Word that is the problem. It has to do with us. There's something about us that makes God's Word, which is supposed to be easy, hard. There are all kinds of misunderstandings when it comes to Jesus Christ, to His teachings, to His church, to His fellowship. And it's not surprising to me that that's the case, but it's surprising to me sometimes that we don't identify why this happens. Now, when you talk about the Bible to someone, I did a survey back when I was doing some grad work, and just went around and asked people one question: what do you think about the Bible? And you know what the number one answer that I got to that question was? It's hard. It's hard. Brethren, the Bible is not supposed to be hard. God's Word is supposed to be easy. In fact, under the Old Testament, if you went back to the Old Law, the average person didn't have a copy of God's Word. He only heard God's Word once every 7 years. Whatever it was that he could remember once every 7 years is what God intended him to understand and to follow. The average person understood what it meant to be a child of God, to follow Him by listening to God's Word read once every 7 years. Now, is it supposed to be easy or hard? It's supposed to be easy. Doesn't mean it's always easy to do. It's kind of like golf. You know, golf's an easy game, but it's hard to play. Think of the concept's easy. I want to take this ball, I want to hit it with a stick, and I want it to go in that cup out there. That's easy. I mean, kids can make up that game, right? But boy, is it hard to play. There's misunderstandings about the church. All kinds of misunderstandings about the church. There are some people that think you can get to heaven without the church. I've heard it said before that the church doesn't save anyone, that Jesus does. Well, now that's true. They need to understand that it's the church that Jesus saves. When we have an understanding of the church in that light, that changes everything for the Christian, for the follower of Jesus Christ. There are some people that think the church is all about money. It's all about what we can get in that collection plate when it's passed around. In fact, I heard one kid one time in the middle of a long sermon reach over to his parents and say, "If we give him the money now, will he shut up?" Some people think that it's a nice place to get a wife. Well, it might be. But, can't be the only reason that you go, because you're missing the whole point. There's some people that think it's a great place for entertainment. There's another one. Turn on the TV on Sunday morning. You'll see all kinds of entertainment in church services. And they call this stuff worship, but it's not. It's just entertainment. There's one family that was going home one day, and the parents were both complaining. The lady said, "Man, those seats were so hard today. I just couldn't hardly sit there." And the guy says, "Yeah, that preacher was so long-winded, I couldn't believe it. It was just terrible." And the little girl in the back seat said, "Well, I thought the entertainment was okay, but the snacks were kind of stingy." And the little boy said, "Considering we all got in for $1, what do you expect, right?" Some people think of it that way, though. It's just for the sake of entertainment, what I can get out of it. There's some people that go to church because they're interested not in the lesson, not in the work, but they think it's a good place to rest. They just want to get away for a while. Take us a nap. One particular guy went to the doctor and said, "Doctor, you got to do something for me. Every time I fall asleep, I start snoring." And the doctor said, "Does it disturb your wife?" He said, "Not just my wife. The whole congregation's upset with me. It's got to stop." But that's not what church is about. There's all kinds of misunderstandings. And I think today we're going to talk about why most of these misunderstandings happen. This particular lesson is about how we hear. I want you to notice in Romans, in the introduction there, that we have this little verse that's added before we get to verse 17, and it says, "Not all who heard the gospel obeyed the gospel." And so then hearing God's word must mean more than just getting it in my ear. It must mean more than it just gets into me. Have you guys in this room, we usually get accused of this more. Have you ever been accused by your wife or your sweetheart of selective listening? That we hear what we want to hear and we don't hear some other thing? I don't believe in it, but we'll let them think that if they want to. There are people who look at God's Word and use selective listening. There's some things they don't want to hear. There's some things they do want to hear. And that brings us to the lesson for today in Matthew and chapter 13. If you will, turn there with me. Matthew chapter 13. I want to give you a real quick background. In Matthew chapters 11 and 12, let me tell you what's led up to this, okay? So leading up to this, Jesus has done some things. One of the things he did is he's cast out a demon from someone. He's done some healing, and the scribes and the Pharisees, we're going to talk a little more about the scribes and the Pharisees later, but the scribes and the Pharisees are really pressing against him, okay? They're pressing against him because they want to find something that he's done wrong. By the way, he's also gathered grain on the Sabbath. How dare he? And he's just breaking all of their traditions, so much so that a little later in chapter 15, he's going to say, "Why do you break God's law," in the Hebrew version, "Jehovah's Torah, for the teachings of man or the practices of man? Why are you doing these things?" And so all these things are happening in the background to the point that they've got to find something to say against this guy. And so the first thing they try to do is to discredit him. They say, "Oh, he did this, but he did it by the name of Beelzebub, the Lord of the dung," or Beelzebub, bull, some of them say, the Lord of the flies. Either way, it's probably not something I want to be called. And so they try to discredit the things that he's done. Well, that didn't work. I mean, how can a demon cast out a demon, right? And so then they go back after he responds, and they try to discredit his message. They discredit the things that he says. That didn't work either. "We want a sign. We want you to give us a sign." What, you mean like taking this demon out of this person? I mean, what kind of sign are you asking for here, you know? And finally, when they can't do all these things, they seek just to break down Jesus himself. I want you to see three things that they do here. The Pharisees and the scribes, first of all, discredited the miracles. They discredited what he did. They discredited the message. They discredited what he said. And when that didn't work, they sought to discredit the man. And if you think the world doesn't do that to us when we stand up for Jesus Christ today, you got another thing coming. Because this is exactly what happens today. They discredit the miracles. They discredit our message. And then when that doesn't work, they just try to discredit us. They try to tear us down to where we don't do that work anymore. And all this is in the background of today's message. All this is what's going on in the background before we come to Matthew chapter 13. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, I want to begin reading in verse 3. And there's a word here or an idea that is repeated so many times, I think you'll not be able to miss it. Sometimes we look at this parable, and we do. But I want you to listen for an idea or a word that's repeated over and over. It's repeated in pretty much every different translation. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Follow along and see if you find it. A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell among the pathway. The birds came and devoured them. And other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, but they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. And then other seeds, they fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked them. And other seed fell on good soil, and it produced grain, some 100-fold, some 30, and some 60. He who has, oh, here it comes. You ready? He who has ears, let him hear. And then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have it in abundance. But from the one who has not, even that which he has will be taken away. And this is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears so that they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn so that I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I say unto you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear, then, the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. And this is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet it has no root in himself, but endures for only a short while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. And as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it and indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, another 60, another 30. Did you see it? Over and over, there's a word there that keeps appearing, and it's the word hear, and y'all thought that this was about a bunch of dirt. I think that there's a point there. You know, my dad said, if God's word repeats anything, you better pay attention. And with that many times that we see the word here in this particular parable, there has to be something in this parable that I'm supposed to listen to. In fact, let's turn over for just a minute now and look at Mark's version in Mark 4 in verses 3 through 9. And in Mark 4, and beginning in verse 3, there's something that I can't find that happens in any of the parables or any of the other teachings of Jesus Christ in my entire Bible. He begins his sermon by saying, "Listen. Listen." One version says, "Listen to me." I can just imagine my mom at this point. She had four boys. Two of them are going to be here later. And we four boys weren't always as attentive as we were supposed to be. And I can remember, not so much me, but with one particular brother, her taking his little head in her hands and saying, "Listen! You got to stop what you're doing for a second and listen to what I'm saying." Jesus says, "Listen," as though what I'm about to say is so important that you've really got to know this. You might miss some other things, but listen to this. And he tells the same story. A sower went out to sow, and he sowed, and we go through the same things. And I want you to go all the way down, and I want you to see verse 13. And I want you to see that he says to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then can you understand all of the parables?" Jesus says, if you can't understand this parable, you can't understand the parable of the talents. If you don't understand this parable, you can't understand the parable about the sowing of the grain and the sowing of the weeds. If you don't understand this parable, you can't understand the parable of the pearl of great price. If you can't understand this parable, how can you understand all of the parables? It must be important. There's something about these words of Jesus that are important, and we better listen. Now let's turn over to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. And we're going to see in chapter 8, we're going to see the same story. And we're going to begin reading just in the description of the understanding. Verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they might not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. And as for what fell on the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And as for the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and a good heart and bear fruit with patience. Now, right after this particular parable, he tells another one, and then some of the apostles come to him and says, "Your mother and your brothers are here to see you." And I want you to see what he says over in verse 21. But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word and do it." There is something about hearing the word properly that requires me to do. That could be the lesson right there, but we're going to break into it just a little more. But there is certainly something in this particular passage that calls out to me that we're supposed to listen. And because we listen, there is something that we're to do. And because we do, somehow that leads me to a place of salvation. And when I understand this, if I get this particular parable, the others will start to unfold. In fact, we see him beginning talking about this is about the kingdom. And actually, in Matthew, he's beginning a whole series that are called the kingdom parables. The kingdom is like this, the kingdom is like this, the kingdom is like this. And if we get this one, we're going to understand those others. He's talking to some people, some of them, they didn't get it. Some of them never got it. Friends, I want us to be the ones that get it. I want us to be the ones that understand. I want us to listen to what God says to me, because God's not the author of confusion. He wants me to understand His simple and true word. And if I understand it correctly, I don't think we have many churches coming out of it. I don't think we have many faiths coming out of God's word. I believe that He wants something that is simple and pure and truth. And perhaps the problems that we have is not so much a heart problem, but an ear problem. So let's go back to Matthew 13. So I'm going to look through here this time, and I'm going to look for more things about the ways that I listen. And as we look at this, I want us to see that He's describing not four types of soil, but four types of ears. And I'm going to look for four different ways that people were listening to Jesus. And I'm going to find myself in one of them, and I'm sure you will too, and I hope that it's the right one. Let's begin back with the sower explained, verse 18. Hear the parable of the sower. Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom, let's stop right there, the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Dennis talked a little bit about the kingdom earlier. The kingdom of God is what? It's the church. That's me. That's us. That's the church. Those that are called out into His service. And when we are part of the church and we're doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, we are part of the kingdom. And so what's Jesus saying? I want you to listen to what I'm saying about the church. If I want to understand the church, it seems like it starts right here in this parable. And so we read, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, the church, and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the pathway. I want to explain to you a little bit about gardening. Anybody here garden? Some of y'all garden? I'm not very good at it. I can grow beans every now and then, but I'm not very good at gardening. My dad was pretty good at it. I didn't realize he wasn't as good at it as I thought he was. Mom told me later, man, he had no idea what he was doing. He'd go out and try this and try that. But gardening or growing things back in Jesus' day was kind of interesting. And usually around the townships, around the town, there was an area where they would plant, and then past that there was an area where they would pasture. And if you go back into the Torah, into the Old Testament and the Old Law, you'll see that the idea of how far a person could travel on a Sabbath day was based on how far they'd have to go out to take care of their animals and come back. And so it is that they would have these areas, but in the middle of these areas, they would have a pathway to get out to these areas. Now, there was a guy in the church a few years ago that wrote a book called Grass Doesn't Grow Under the Ball Goal. And that's true, right? Now, out here we got a ball goal, and there's concrete. There's certainly not any grass growing there. But if you put up a ball goal somewhere and kids start playing on the grass, what do you have soon enough? No grass, right? Why? Because it gets hard. It gets padded down. It gets tramped under the foot, and sooner or later it's so hard that nothing can grow there. It's just almost like a concrete floor. And that ball bounces pretty good on that. I had a ball go like that when I was a kid, attached to the side of a tree. And, you know, and it's true. It gets so hard that nothing's going to grow. Now, what Jesus is talking about here is the scribes and the Pharisees. I want you to understand a little bit about who they are. So the Pharisees and the scribes were supposed to be the most learned people. The scribes were the ones who meticulously copied and studied God's word from the Old Testament. And the Pharisees were the lawmakers. They were the ones that were to interpret the law. In fact, there are entire writings that are later falsely called the oral law of the Pharisees, called the Mahasim and the Takanot. And one of them has to do with how they would take the Old Testament scriptures and they would twist them and interpret them to mean something they never meant. And then the other one was to basically take the Old Testament scriptures and find a way to nullify them and make them of no effect. And so these are the types of people, these are the lawyers of their day that want to twist everything around and make it say something that it isn't And that's who he's talking to. And he says, when these people have the word put on them, when these people have the seed thrown on them, it's not the seed's problem. The seed's good seed, but they're hard. And it won't sink in. And you know what? I don't know if you've ever taken a piece of dirt like that and tried to make something grow again, but it's hard. It's hard to ever break the surface. And if you ever do break the surface, it's still so hard that it's hard to break up the clumps. And then even when you start to break up the clumps, it's hard to get them to mix together. They're hard, and they would not receive the word. They were listening with prejudiced ears. Brethren, there's a lot of people today that listen to God's word with prejudiced ears. And it's almost impossible to get through to them because they do not want to hear what we're saying. Let's go on. Now we're going to come to the second piece. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. He thinks it's the best thing since light bread. This is wonderful. This is great. This is the best thing I've ever heard. I've got to have some of this. But he has no root in himself and endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the world, immediately he falls away. Brethren, they were listening with cowardice. They were afraid of what God's word said. They were afraid. They liked it. I've got to have that. I just like the pearl of great price. I've got to have that right there. I recognize what it is. I know how good it is. I've got to have it. But then all of a sudden the world looks at it and says, what's that you got there? Nothing. Nothing. I ain't got nothing. All of a sudden, they're ashamed of God's word. They're ashamed of the teaching. They're ashamed of the truth. They were listening as cowards. Brethren, do you think there are not people who listen to God's word as cowards today? I've seen them. I've been in places, been on platforms and stages where I was speaking about things that people didn't want to hear. And people that I knew believed the same thing that I did would not stand up with me because they were cowards. They were afraid of the tribulation of the world. And they looked at God's word and listened to it through cowardice. Let's go on. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Luke's version says they're choked with the cares, that's problems, and the riches, prosperity, and the pleasures of the things around them. And they choke it out. And it's not because there's anything wrong with the word. The seed is good. The seed is truth. But they have listened to that word and tried to grasp it with the arms of selfishness. And when we listen to God's word with selfishness, it will not produce in our lives. It will not make what it should be. And we're definitely not going to produce the 100-fold or the 60 or the 30. There might be people here, but I guarantee you, we go back to our churches wherever we might be tomorrow. There'll be people that are there for the wrong reason. Some of them will be there to take a nap. Some of them will be there because they think it's all about the money and I better put it in the collection plate. Some of them will be there for all kinds of reasons, but there's going to be somebody that's there that's not there because they really want God's word. Maybe they're there for appearances. Maybe they're there because they think if they keep showing up, their child might. But whatever it is, they're not really there to grasp God's word, and they try to hang on to it through selfishness. And God's word cannot live that way. It does not live among the thorns. And then we get to the last piece. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit. And he yields sometimes 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. There was a guy a few years ago that went over to Africa, and he went over there for a while, learned their dialect, learned how to preach in their language. And he had a lot of problems at first, though, because he found out that in their local dialect, they did not have a word for obey. How do you teach obedience to God's word when they don't have a word for obey? And then one day he was out and he was watching a guy that had a dog, and he had trained this dog to do all kinds of stuff. He'd tell the dog to do it, the dog would do it. And another guy walked over and he said, "Your dog sure listens well." Maybe there's something about listening to God's word that has more to do than with just getting it inside my ear. Maybe there's something that we're supposed to understand from this parable that has more to do with just sowing the word. Do you think that perhaps it is that most of the misunderstandings and most of the crazy things that are taught out there in the name of Jesus Christ might have to do with people who listen to the word of God through the ears of prejudice and the heart of cowardice, and then seek to grab hold of it with the arms of selfishness? And then, I keep forgetting I've even got this, we come back to Romans 10. And in Romans 10, where we started out everything today, we see not all who heard the word obeyed. So then faith, it comes by hearing, and hearing God's word. Now, I told you I wouldn't forget you. We're going to go right back there to the beginning. Those who call upon the name of the Lord. How do we call on the name of the Lord? This verse says it has something to do with listening, and it has something to do with obeying God's word. And there's one other place that we find in the Scriptures that has this terminology. And it's in Acts 22 and verse 16, where Paul's retelling his story of his conversion, where he is told, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." I hope that you listen to God's word not with ears of prejudice. I hope you listen to God's word and grasp it not with the arms of selfishness. I hope you look at this parable and you listen to it not with the heart of cowardice. I hope that you listen with a pure heart and with an open ear. And I hope you hear the word and obey it. Is there something that you haven't obeyed in God's word? If there is, why don't you respond right now as we stand and sing?